John Cohn, welcome back for another day's coverage. Yesterday we talked about the high-profile events. Bill Clinton was here, etc. Today let's talk about what won't make the headlines but is still very interesting and important. First, starting with the HIV vaccine enterprise. What happened?
Well, there's something called the Global HIV Vaccine Enterprise that for the past 3 years, researchers who are leading the field have come together and said, it's not working well, business as usual, with everybody off in their own laboratories, doing their own things. We've got to form consortia, get together, work like we're in a company together even, share data, set goals. And it's a very ambitious effort, and it's taken a long time to get off the ground. And this spring, they finally announced that they had a leader. And the leader is Adel Mahmoud, who is head of vaccines at Merck. And Merck is one of the biggest producers of vaccines and of new vaccines as well. Seemed to most people like this was a good choice. And he had a talk planned here, and he didn't show up. And as it turns out, he's no longer in the job. They both say it wasn't a good fit. They realized it when it came time to really sign the contract, that there were different visions about what the job was and what he wanted and what they wanted, and it fell apart.
And so how much does this set back what this group wants to do?
Well, a lot of, the group has always had trouble explaining what it wants to do. And the nice thing about having a leader is it can start to get some clarity about where you're going and how you're going to do it. Now, there have been $500 million already put into these new consortia, half more or less from the Gates Foundation and half from the National Institute
of Health. And the researchers are already off and running.
Are off and running, but they have no leader. And as people have said to me who are not in the consortia, who are out of it, but observing it, is, you know, this is a real setback in terms of direction and moving the thing in an organized way forward to have some clarity about what it really is and what it's going to do. So I think it's a significant event.
I know you just broke this story yesterday and it's early, but is there any hint yet about who they will look for next and what type of person?
I just got off the phone with somebody who said they're going to have a meeting tomorrow to talk about that. This is all, their heads are still spinning. This is pretty fresh stuff, and they really, my guess is that they'll look for something very different from a pharmaceutical executive. That, you know, maybe they'll look for a political leader. Maybe Bill Clinton will take the job. You know, he seems to be putting more and more.
Well, he's certainly beloved in this environment.
He's beloved in this environment. I think they're going to start stretching their minds and thinking in that direction. You know, what do we really need? Do we need an ambassador? Do we need a scientific director, a scientific manager? They're going to have to come up with a clear vision before they hire someone next time or offer someone the job.
Right. Okay, next subject. Elite controllers.
Yeah, it's one of the interesting things, and one of the things I love about this conference is that much of what I learn outside the conference halls. It happens because somebody's here who's got something interesting and didn't get a slot to give a presentation. Bruce Walker is a leading immunologist from the Harvard Medical School and works at Mass General. And he noticed years ago that there are people who get infected with HIV and nothing happens to them. The virus doesn't grow well. Their immune systems show no evidence of...
Without medication.
No medication, nothing. So he and many, many other researchers have looked into this, have tried to understand why are these people called long-term non-progressors who never progress. And he's now trying to form a consortia of researchers around the country and eventually around the world who have patients who have been infected for 1 year, that they know have been infected for 1 year, who look like they're on good drugs, who have so little virus in it you can't even detect it with the best test in their blood, and their immune system looks perfectly fine. And the idea is that if once this consortia has enough people to analyze, they can compare those elite controllers, who are a minority of the people who are infected, to the rest of everyone who's infected and progressing right along, and say, are their genes different? Are their immune systems somehow different? What is it?
And if they're able to answer that question eventually, what impact could that have on most of the others?
Well, it could have profound impact on the thing we started talking about, vaccines. I mean, the vaccine world still doesn't know what a vaccine needs to do. Which parts of the immune system need to be turned on? Mm. Polio vaccines, you know antibodies to polio work. Hepatitis B, you know antibodies work. They're still arguing about what works. in HIV because they don't know. This could shed a really strong light on that question, on what is the immunity you need.
Is it possible to know how many elite controllers there are?
Well, Bruce Walker made an estimate, and he estimates that there are, in the United States, 3,000 people who have had an HIV test and had a viral load test who know that they are in that group, and he's urging them to contact their doctors and say, let's get me into this study.
And you told me before we started taping that he has one patient since 1978.
Well, the patient, they dated back, and he's been infected since, they estimate, since 1978, and the man is doing fine. He's having some other health problems, but it's not the HIV. He's controlled it now for 28 years.
Again, without medication.
No medication.
Remarkable.
I've interviewed the man, actually. I've met him.
Uh-huh.
And he's perfectly healthy, and he's a politician, even. He's open about all this.
Next subject is young people. I mean, you look around the global village, you look everywhere in the hallways there. I think there are more young people here, certainly, than there were in Bangkok.
Oh, yeah, than any meeting I've been to like this.
And there was a presentation about youth today, too.
Yeah, they had a young woman who told a very poignant story about her parents being told when she was 3 years old that she wouldn't live past five, and she's a college student now. And she said, I want to get married, I'm dating now, I'm doing just fine. And she started a new organization to let both tell people who aren't infected how not to get infected, and to let people know who are infected that you can live a normal life. And it was a really moving speech.
And what about the statistics?
Well, it's about, and this is kind of stunning, but about 14 to 15% of the new infections each year are people between 15 and 24. And about 5% or so of the existing infected people who are, and if you throw everything together, people who are infected, it's about 5%. She said something that really struck, I think, most people in the room. She said, parents, tell your kids about HIV/AIDS, because otherwise they're going to ask their friends, and their friends don't know what they're talking about.
I'm actually glad you brought this up, John, because so much of the week we've heard, and you and I have talked about, AIDS increasingly becoming a disease among women.
Yeah.
And so it's good to return to the idea of young people.
Yeah, and in many parts of the world, like in southern Africa, young women are much more infected than young men.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because they're older men who've been around a lot longer, who've had more partners, who are more likely to get infected, having sex with younger women. And, you know, one of the messages is people, young people, really should stick to people their own age.
know? One last issue I want to cover with you just briefly, John, and that is this idea of there being very anemic protests this time around. I saw a group of protesters leave a press conference and walk into the media center where there are many hundreds of reporters. They were shouting, the reporters did not blink, they did not look up. What if you have a protest and nobody pays attention?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, it used to be at these meetings, there'd be hundreds, thousands of protesters together chanting something, and the audience might chant with them, or they'd take over the stage. And now people are like, are you done? And the reason is, I mean, the people on the stage again and again have said, once the protest, these protests are a dozen people now. I mean, it's not a big crowd. And time and again, people on the stage have said, I agree with everything you said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are you yelling at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of what they're doing is just trying to put things on the agenda that they want on the agenda. More nurses now. Well, the world does need more nurses. That's
who could
sure.
argue with that?
Who can argue with it? And even public officials who've been yelled at about their governments, criticism of their government, go, I agree.
Does it have to do not only with the stage of the epidemic, but also the part of the world this conference is being held in? It was only 2 years ago we were in Bangkok, and there were many thousands of protesters.
That's right. And, you know, Canada isn't exactly hurting when it comes to HIV/AIDS treatment and care and prevention services. Canada, in fact, is leading the way in many regards. And so you don't see a lot of angry Canadian activists here. They exist, of course, but that, I think that's a very good point. And when you're in a place like Bangkok, you're also attracting all the other Asian neighbors who've never been to an AIDS conference. Who are you attracting in Canada? You're attracting Americans. You know, I mean, there are people here from all over the world, but your next-door neighbors, the easy travel here, aren't people who are that different from.
Right. Okay, John, thanks so much. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Thank you, Jackie.
Great.